Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
Hour number three is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Stephen Colorado Springs, you're next. How are you today, sir?
Bonjour, mon ami. Comment ça va?
Hey, what's happening in the Springs, by the way?
Hey, I hope you had a good restful vacation and charged your batteries.
I did. Thank you. It was very nice.
Just a couple items of note. This real estate blurb I get every day. Since the COVID crisis started, 16.2 million people have left the three high tax states, California, Illinois, and New York. And I've never seen, driving around Colorado Springs, always seen California plates. But the number of New York and Illinois plates is unbelievable. We had a couple come in from Chicago, north of Chicago. He's a retired CFO of the federal businesses. And the house they're buying, which is about the same that they had north of Chicago, at the $800,000 price point, they were paying five times more property taxes in Illinois than they're going to pay here.
Wow, five times.
And that's huge. New Jersey's the same. New York's the same. And like you were saying, if you drive out successful, productive people, you're not going to have them, and your tax base is going to shrink. You're going to have less and less resources to take care of things.
That's right. And then what you end up with, Steve, is Detroit all over again. And so the question that I guess I continue to ask myself, and we all have to be asking, is when do these cities that are doing this and or states start becoming Detroit all over again? I mean, how long is that going to take?
They will. Second item, and again, I haven't seen any legacy media coverage on this, but this outfit out of California that's a nationwide mortgage operation, the biggest financial fraud in the history of California has just taken place. And what it is was the unemployment benefits that Bank of America issued with the list of people that the state of California gave them. Anyway, this $2 billion fraud deal, that's a fair amount of money, even for California. The money was supposed to go to people that were actually unemployed and needed, to the tune of 680,000 people. Instead, it went to babies and dead people and people they can't even find. It's just
So answer me this. Where'd the money come from?
It came from the taxpayers. I mean, it was distributed as part of the federal relief stimulus program for the unemployed. And it was administered by Bank of America. They cut the cards, similar to the EBT cards, and they just sent them out willy-nilly.
In California?
In California. It's doing $2 billion.
I did not know that. So, I have not heard that. No, this is the first time I've heard of it. I'll do some research. I did not know that.
First time I heard of it was yesterday.
Unbelievable.
But, I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, it's just...
Well, okay, going back to the comment about the people leaving those high tax states, and I believe I'm correct. I don't think I'm wrong, Steve, in saying that when you start to push out those individuals that are, you know, they find that threshold and they just start to leave. Which, by the way, I don't think I'm wrong in saying that it's typically the strongest and the brightest and the smartest and those people that are, they've gotten to where they've gotten in life because they're not dumb. They know when to leave. So in a way, Steve, when you start pushing those individuals out, not only do you have less people there, you know, less pool of people, if you would, to continue to handle your infrastructure and so on, but haven't you just dumbed down the entire population?
Yes, you have, and that's why they're so upset, accepting of some of these crazy policies. You're old. Hometown Boulder, which my brilliant daughter just escaped from, summa cum laude, in April. Do you see the city council there? They passed this resolution that says we want to have no more dealings with any company in our insurance portfolio that has any dealings with fossil fuels. So I'm going to ask my daughter, so what do they want to do? They want to turn off heat and power and light to the entire city of Boulder and see how that works out, putting people in candles and caves? It's crazy.
Well, they were so dumb at one time, they wanted to run their own utility. Fortunately, that fizzled out, Steve. But, yeah, that's pretty much how dumb they are up there. Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, anyway, you know, in a way, too, Steve, and I'm not trying to be, you know, rude to anybody here on air, anybody that's listening, but unlike what most left, which, by the way, I do believe the left believe, I don't think the left believes themselves when they think that everybody's the same. Because we know, Steve, that everybody's not the same. If certain individuals have a threshold and have the ability to make enough money to get to the point where they're in that high tax end of it, and they start moving out of an area because they're tired of that and that threshold has been met, they're the smarter of the group, and they got there by being smart, and they're going to leave because they're smart. Do you think for one second the left really thinks everybody's the same?
No, and those are also the most productive people because they come up with innovative creations and solutions to solve problems. But on a last note, you know how things got just completely covered up in the media about old Hunter Biden, which goes back to a year ago. They had his laptop. Well, now IRS has got him under tax evasion charges, and Senate Intelligence Committee is looking at him for violating the Foreign Espionage Act. He was never a registered foreign agent. And on those emails, Uncle Joe is called the big guy. And email after email, he diverts 10% of anything Hunter gets to the big guy, mm-hmm. Father Joe. This thing's getting nasty.
I don't know why we didn't get that thing pushed out bigger, harder, faster, stronger prior to the election, because we've already seen through different surveys and polls that if more people, even on the left, knew about what was going on there, they wouldn't have voted for him.
Well, the legacy media made a big, big point. We don't want to cover it. It's just fake. Yeah.
Well said. Good point. Steve, I appreciate it. As always, thanks, sir. Have a great night. Appreciate the phone call. Stay safe in Colorado Springs. Gino's Auto Service is coming up next, folks. It's Gino's with a J. And whatever you need when it comes to your vehicle, especially front-end work, they are really a specialty center when it comes to front-end alignments, things along those lines, and they would love to take care of you and your vehicle. It's ginosautoservice.com, Gino's with a J, 303-794-6700.
Winter is coming quick, and if there's one thing Geno's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection before winter arrives. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Geno's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
Purefoy Chevrolet, folks. I'll be out there tomorrow visiting them, seeing what's going on. They've got a lot of great deals going on, new and used. In fact, right now, Chevrolet's got their employee discount program. So if you want to buy a new car, now is the time to do so. Call 303-659-8311 or purefoychevrolet.com.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have. And that made my job easier, being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy. Hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Lines are open. If any of you have been to a restaurant lately and you want to comment on your experience, how things went, what you feel about it, let me know, 303-477-5600. By the way, my heart goes out to a lot of these restaurants and individuals that have been affected by shutdowns. On the same token, one of the things I wanted to talk about today, and do this in as nice a way as I possibly can, is this is also one of those deals where the strong survive and those that aren't don't. What do I mean by that? I have seen lots of innovative things coming out of different restaurants around town. Some I've eaten at, some I haven't, but I've seen some innovative things that have come out and really some smart people figuring out ways to still stay open, still keep people employed, still serve a meal, even a sit-down meal, and do it in a way where they are not, quote-unquote, violating the COVID laws. Do I think there's any preferential treatment being given to certain restaurants over others when it comes to the rules and regulations? You know, honestly, folks, I'm not in that industry, so I'm really not at liberty to say whether there is or isn't. But from the outside looking in, I don't see that there is. I do think it's ironic that a restaurant can take and put a little bubble pod outside with a table in it and put 2 to 4, 6 people inside of it. Or they can set people out on a patio that's enclosed. Or they can put them inside of a tent that is also enclosed with, you know, the space heaters in it. And somehow COVID is so doggone smart that it won't affect anybody in those settings. But if you put everybody inside the restaurant, oh boy, that can't happen. COVID is really smart. It knows whether people are dining inside or whether they're dining outside. And if you're inside, oh boy, watch out. COVID's going to get you. But you can dine in a tent with no problem, or dine in the bubble. It's no problem. So again, I've gone to some of the restaurants. I've done it in a way really to support a bunch of the restaurants because I don't want to see them all close up. I'd like to see a lot of them stay in business. And like anything that comes along in the free market, there's going to be some winners and some losers. I'll give you some examples of things that I have seen out at restaurants, and I've seen some very innovative things, and why a lot of other restaurants haven't picked up on some of these ideas and done them themselves, I honestly don't know. I just think, and I'm not trying to be mean here, but I think this comes back to a lot of other things that go on in the business world all around the world, but especially in the United States of America. Some folks shouldn't be business owners. They got lucky. They might have been a great cook. They may have decided to open up their own restaurant. Great, so be it. But the bottom line is they don't know the bottom line. They don't know how to make the bottom line. And when something like COVID comes along, they have no idea how to combat it and keep things moving forward. So let me give you some examples of things that I've seen at different restaurants around town. I'm not going to name names, but I'll just give you some ideas of what I've seen and how I think some of these businesses have been very forward-thinking. And by the way, these are restaurants that will most likely make it. They're still in business, so they must be doing something right. I've seen bars whereby there's two stools and long plexiglass, clear as a bell, where you can see right through it, no problem, but long plexiglass that goes to the floor up about 5 feet above the bar, separating two stools. So if you're there with, you know, your significant other and you want to sit down at the bar and have a meal or a drink or whatever, they've got the ability to serve you. There's also another plexiglass between you and the bartender. They've got the ability to have some pass-through things, which, again, I guess COVID's so smart it doesn't know that it can, you know, or it knows that it can't pass through those small holes and things where things get passed through, and or just the touching of the drink glass itself or the plate or the whatever. But at any rate, I digress. That's one example of where I've seen a restaurant be really forward-thinking in, hey, let's design this thing to where not only will it help us in COVID, but, you know, even on down the road, might actually work out really well. I mean, down the road, let's say you want to have 4 people sitting together instead of just 2, slip a divider out, off you go, 4 people can now sit there instead of 2. Brilliant idea, by the way. I've seen the little out, was it a place last night where there's just little bubbles that you can go sit inside? What I mean by bubbles is they're almost like a little white with some plastic window pup tents with a zipper on them, where you basically get zipped in and have dinner. You've seen them, Charlie? Yeah, like a little greenhouse. Thanks, Charlie. Yeah, like a little bitty greenhouse. And maybe that's what they are. That could very well be what it is. But they've got them to the point where you can go sit inside. They've got a little heater in there, and off you go. Again, now, how that makes everything more safe than just eating inside the restaurant, that one I'll never understand. Governor Polis, in his almighty wisdom, has somehow figured out that COVID is so smart that it knows the difference between the pod and the main area of the restaurant. I've seen people do some really unique things with the patios. You know, we've got to the day and age now to where, you know, heaters are such that, you know, unless it's super cold, which right now we're looking at 36 degrees outside, but, you know, even at that, 36 degrees, get the right heater going, you can pretty much sit comfortably outside, especially an enclosed patio area, and it's actually fairly comfortable. Light jacket, you can sit in there, no problem. Again, I'm confused as to how that makes it any different than sitting inside of the restaurant itself, but the reality is you can't sit inside the restaurant right now because that's against the law, against the rules, whatever you want to say. Dan and I were talking before the show today about these various things, and I'll say this in a way where I hope I don't step on too many toes, but why there's not been more innovation in these areas to overcome some of the things that we're talking about, I'm shocked at. Folks, I really am. And I'm not saying that as conservatives we should just lay down and roll over and do everything everybody says and not worry about it. But I also know when it comes to the business world, you know, and Dan was asking, you know, why have restaurants been more affected by COVID than anything else? Well, because I think, number one, it's easy to regulate. You've already got health department and liquor licenses that go on in a lot of restaurants, and it's really easy to pull one or the other and shut the place down. Seen that happen all over town. That just happened to Lion's Den up in Lyons, Colorado. They had several violations. The city council finally decided that was enough. They shut them down, pulled the liquor license, done. That wasn't even done by the state. That was just done locally. So when a lot of you out there are saying, why don't they just fight back? Well, when you're a business owner and everything you've got is on the line and you do fight back and then you lose everything, i.e. the example I just gave, where's the incentive for the next guy to stay open? There isn't any, folks. You know, yeah, there's going to be a few bold individuals out there that are going to go ahead and defy this, but if your whole livelihood is based upon staying open and serving customers and making money come in each day, that's hard to do without a license to stay open and or a liquor license if you're requiring, you know, if you're living off of the sale of alcohol, which, by the way, a lot of places do. Whether you agree or disagree with that, doesn't matter. It's the facts. It's how it works. So why did restaurants and those types of establishments get hit hardest with COVID? Because they're the easiest to regulate. They're the easiest to shut down, easiest to open back up, easiest to regulate. In other words, the state comes along, it's the easiest for them to just say, well, if you don't do it our way, we'll pull your license. So you're either going to comply or you won't be in business, one or the other. Yeah, is that draconian? Absolutely it is. Is that an overreach of government? You betcha. Is there anything all of them can do about it? Not without voting in a bunch of new elected officials. Not until then. It is what it is. So my point with Dan earlier was, why didn't a lot of these restaurants just learn how to work around these things, get smarter about what they were doing, not defying orders, but working around them and still servicing customers and still making money at the end of the day? Instead, I feel like at times we as conservatives, even though we want to fight and we should, but at times we fight to the point where we don't come up with any solutions on what to do to keep people in business. We just whine about it a lot. I'm being honest, folks. We'll sit around, gritch, moan, complain, whine about what's going on, not give anybody any real solutions on how to fix it other than getting rid of said politician. Unfortunately, that's easier said than done. As we've determined with the let's oust Polis out of the governorship campaign. That didn't go anywhere. So again, at the end of the day, instead of whining about what's going on, shouldn't we not try to find solutions to what's going on and work around it and be smarter? The example I gave to Dan, and I know this is a really outlandish example, but please bear with me here. The example I gave to Dan earlier on how we should be outsmarting all of those in these particular arenas is Schindler's List. In Schindler's List, Schindler did a really good job of outsmarting the Nazis. All he did, he saved Jews by being smarter than the Nazis. So my point is, when it comes to the business community, why aren't we just being smarter than those that are in control? I'll leave you with that. We'll come back and take our guest. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next, folks, and they want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs. And don't forget, right now, they have Cooper tires that they sell at cost, and it'll give you up to a $50 rebate on a Visa, MasterCard prepaid card through Cooper Tires themselves. Go to klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong. Extreme Auto Repair will honor your service contract. Unlike most independent shops, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership's service contract. Promises kept.
Ascent Health Center, Dr. Julie Marchio, she's with us every Wednesday for Health and Wellness Wednesday. She's got a great, Build Your Immune System pack, a starter pack that can help you get on the right track to stay healthy. That's one of the things they're doing to help us during these times of COVID and outsmarting the competition, as we just said a moment ago. Call Dr. Julie today, 303-343-8800, or find her at AscentHealthCenter.com.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchial of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascent Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit rushtoreason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, he's a financial advisor, would love to help you with your and not only end of year planning, but as we get to 2021 and beyond and you start looking down the road and want to know how to retire and keep that money in retirement, that's what Al's there for. Find him today at klzradio.com or call 303-744-1128.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Our next guest, Michelle Snyder, who has been with us before. Her nickname is Mish. So, Mish, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me back, John.
I appreciate it very much. So we're getting to the end of the year. Lots of things still going on in regards to COVID and shutdowns and uncertainties. And yet there's lots of, from what I can see, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but lots of money still out there on the sidelines because people have been saving it and not spending it on entertainment and other things that they normally would. What do you see 2021 looking like?
Well, in terms of the overall stock market, right now we're in a situation where there's two pieces of information that people are counting on. One is, and in fact, Pfizer got FDA approval today, so one is the vaccine and the accessibility of vaccine without anything going wrong. Market's counting on that. And the market is also counting on stimulus, whether it gets passed in the next week or so. It seems like they certainly want that to happen. Of course, they also want it to happen before the election. So at some point, there will be stimulus money. And I think those are the two real big drivers, other than what's been driving the market throughout, really, since we saw the peak bottom in April. And that's, of course, the Fed injecting a lot of liquidity and the interest rates being near zero. So you're in a situation where the market has lived on this hope. So now what we need to see is the hope turn into reality. And that reality means today we had a very disappointing jobless claims report. We need to see more jobs coming in. We need to see the businesses come back. We need to see consumers, which I think have pent up demand, going out and spending money. And it has to sustain over then just the first quarter or the second quarter when everybody kind of goes hog wild because they've been cooped up for so long. And if we see that the market is forward thinking, then the market could sustain, provided, of course, that all that lovely free money that it's gotten used to continues to also sustain.
By the way, I think everything you just said is correct. I think, to me, what everything hinges on is when we can get certain elected officials to figure out that lockdowns are not helping us out economically speaking. They're not even helping us out when it comes to COVID numbers and deaths. So until these knuckleheads figure out that we got to get things open back up, Mish, I agree with you, but when, if at all, is that going to happen?
Well, you keep thinking it's going to happen and then it stops. I mean, Santa Fe, where I live, which is very close to you, is a classic example. Our numbers during the major part of COVID were very low, and then they started to spike up and we stayed open. The governor shut us down for 2 weeks. And the numbers have come down a little bit, but not by very much. And what we've done is hurt a lot of small businesses.
Yeah, because we've seen it over and over again. And I don't know whether Wall Street recognizes this, but I know as a host and somebody that watches the data, these hardcore shutdowns, Michelle, are not doing anything when it comes to dropping COVID numbers. And yet we're ruining businesses at the same time.
It's a very, very tricky, complicated situation because, quite honestly, what we're really seeing is that nobody really knows as much about the virus as they would like at this point. I happen to know, just from a personal standpoint, I've seen lots of people in my own sphere get tested positive with no symptoms.
Yeah, me too. That makes two of us, by the way.
So it could be mutating for all we know, which would be fantastic. I know Trump calls it the herd mentality. I don't know if I would say it quite like that. But nonetheless, there's just so little known about it. I think that's what's happening. And it is unfortunate it's become a political situation. I don't know what I would do if I were in the situation where I was torn between having businesses prosper and continue on, considering how many people have gone out of business, particularly hit the restaurant business and the whole entertainment business, or then feeling like I have to protect people. It's not
well, and you know
easy.
What, Mish, I think I'm not in charge, but if I were, I think you can do both. And I think, you know, Sweden, for example, has done both. I mean, the reality is you tell people that are at high risk, folks, we're going to open things back up. If you want to go to the restaurant, you're going to the restaurant. It's at your own risk. If you're somebody that's got immune disorders or you feel like, you know, you're at an age where you just can't contract it, there's no vaccine yet, and even if there is a vaccine, there's not 100% guarantee at that point that that's even going to save you. So the reality is you tell people, listen, if you need protected, then you need to be protected. You also, I believe, as government, have to step into nursing homes and places like that and make sure that they are protecting those that are the most vulnerable. But outside of that, Mish, you just got to get things open back up again, or we're all going to die of everything else that happens economically speaking.
I totally agree with you. And, you know, you would think with technology, and again, we're talking about a fine line between crossing people's personal space, but I like the idea of being able to somehow be tagged. If I walk into a restaurant with my email address and if somebody got positive, I'd be contacted that way. Some kind of system, whether it's through, you know, Apple had talked about putting something on the phone where you can track where you
are.
Well,
and, you know, and it's there, Mish. I mean, that I'm a techno geek guy. That exists. The problem is only about 25 to 30% of people, because of what you just said a moment ago, privacy-wise, have decided to turn it on. And by the way, I'm one that will not turn that on ever because, frankly, I'm one that says, I don't really care if I come in contact with someone with COVID. If I get it, I get it. If I don't, I don't. I don't care if you've had it and you're around me. I mean, if you want to tell me, great, but I don't need contact it on my phone. Others, though, I'm a guy that believes in freedom. If you want that option, great, turn it on. But if you don't, so be it. The problem lies with what I just said, Mish. I mean, that's the problem we've got across the country. Freedom doesn't guarantee security.
Exactly. So everything, and what I think this year has really brought to light is just how complex the situation is. And when you have things that are that complex and that unknown, then you're going to have all the myriad of reactions that we have seen, not just politically, but emotionally, socially. And unfortunately, it happens to affect us financially. And that's why, I mean, all I can really hope for now is that as we get into the new year with the vaccine, and there are going to be many people, maybe a majority of people, who will not take the
vaccine. That's right. You're very right. Yes, thank you for saying so. Because a lot of folks out there, I think even in Wall Street, are just counting on, you know, 80% of the population getting it. And I'm going to tell you, I think it's going to be reversed.
I think you're right. I think people are not going to want to be the first one lined up. And it's so interesting. You know, it's amazing what you can find out if you just talk to people. And
right.
That's how you kind of get
right.
a very, yeah, I mean, it's not statistical, but at least gives you a sense. And when I talk to a lot of people, I do see more people saying that they would get the vaccine and they wouldn't. But those are the older people that I've talked to. When
right.
you talk to the younger people, they say, well, it doesn't really seem to affect us very much. So why would I put something in my body that I don't need?
And you know what? So, I'm not sure that there's anything wrong with saying it that way. I mean, if you're H1N1, we'll use that for an example. You know, if you're somebody that's elderly and they, you know, your doctor says, hey, you know, you ought to get a flu shot. Well, of course, you sit down, you think about it. Should I get a flu shot? Should I not? Totally up to that particular individual. And, you know, they're the ones that are the most risk. But you know what? If you're in your mid-20s or mid-30s, do you really need a flu shot for H1N1? Most likely not.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so swinging back in, though, to 2021 in the financial world, because I like you. There's been lots of free money flowing from the feds to, you know, actual stimulus checks and things along those lines. You know, the downside, Mish, and this is where you come in, if you're somebody that's retired living on a fixed income, you've got some investments, and you're requiring a certain return on those investments, zero or negative interest rates don't help you. If there's people out there listening that are in that world, what do they do moving into 2021?
Buy Bitcoin. I say that somewhat facetiously, but not really, in a sense. I think that if you are living on a fixed income and you have the low interest rates, I mean, you could actually consider making some kind of investment if the year starts out well. I mean, there are certainly... I mean, you're talking to somebody who's done nothing but invest for the last 40 years of my life, and who started out with no money. It's not like I went to the School of Wharton or grew up rich.
Good for you, by the way.
Thank you. I grew up in Queens. My father was a mailman, and I went down to the floor with nothing. And what I learned really, really is that no matter what you want to say, investing is still free capital. It is still the best bastion of pure capitalism that we have
Agree.
In this country. Whether it's, you want to believe it's manipulated, fixed, rigged, whatever, all those words, it doesn't matter. The truth of the matter is that anybody can get involved, and now they're making it easier with fractional ownership, with micro mini S&P 500 accounts that you can, so you don't have to trade the full value of it. You can do just an e-mini part of it. So I would say, you know, I would certainly be trying to get some level of an education. And, it's so amazing how many people do not get involved unless they have a 401. They don't even look at their statements. They throw it in the drawer. But there's still a staggering statistic. Like, I think 84% of the people that are invested in the stock market are really the 10% of the population. That shouldn't be.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be. So
by the way, I think you're correct in what you just said. And I think, though, a lot of it, and I'll just use myself as an example, Mish. I am a guy that I have very little money in the market. I am a commercial real estate guy. I like commercial real estate. I understand it. I understand how all that works. I understand how to operate the buildings and handle the tenants and do all the things necessary to make all of that work. And I like that tangible property that I can look at, see, and sort of even know what's going on around it to know sort of what. Yeah, I know you can't always tell what the future's doing, but you know where I'm going with that. It's something that I feel I can manage and handle. And no offense, I don't feel like I can do that with the stock market as well. So I am one that, unless somebody can come along and teach me, yourself maybe, otherwise, I would have a hard time switching gears.
Well, to kind of put it somewhat in terms relatable to what you just said, because what you're really describing is something tangible, something you know it's there, it has value. And you can actually apply that by looking at even companies or products or businesses that you like and see if they're publicly traded. And then basically, you know, try to figure out what kind of value there is in that stock if you think that this company or product will continue to go up. I mean, let's take Apple. You know, it's the classic Peter Lynch theory of consumer instinct, buy what you know. And I don't think that people should just do that blindly. But essentially, we all walk around and we see things constantly that we think are a good idea. You know, like, for example, Airbnb, which just went public today.
Right.
In the last year, more, 2-3 years, I've been thinking about Airbnb. Now, of course, at this point, at $101 billion valuation, it's a little hard to get involved. But the idea of it is what I'm really trying to say is you get an idea when Apple first came on the scene in 2007, when everybody all of a sudden was talking about touch screens and white earbuds, not black headsets. It was pretty obvious to a lot of people that, maybe that company, Apple's onto something. Right. So I would say stick to what you know.
Good point.
And then you can kind of figure out with a little bit of help, which, of course, I'm always willing to help, what your risk would be in that situation. Is it a good time, bad time, et cetera?
Makes total sense. How do folks, if they want to do what you just said, how do they find you?
Well, probably the easiest way to find me is on Twitter because I'm there all day long and sadly sometimes at night too.
Because okay.
Well, it's a 24-hour global world.
Sure.
And my Twitter handle is @MarketMinute. And I'm very, very accessible. No matter how busy I am, I always stop and answer everybody's questions. And most people ask me about what do you think of this stock, what do you think of that stock, and I'm very, very forthcoming on that. Otherwise, if you go to marketgage.com, which is our website, I also write a blog every day, which gives you an idea of what's happening in the market. And that's called Mish's Market Minute Daily. So I'd say that would be a good way to read what I do. Instagram, I'm on that. I'm on Facebook. I'm everywhere on social media. But to get to me directly, either email me, which you can do through my daily, or go on Twitter and look at Market Minute.
Perfect. All right, Mish, one last question I've got for you. I was reading something, I believe it was yesterday, so I think it was Wall Street Journal, so they were talking about how there's predictions that California, and this was, I don't know why this didn't apply to the rest of the country, but in California specifically, with all of the pent-up money, demand, and so on that's out there, they can see California coming back when this is all said and done and it be like the roaring 20s. I guess the question I have for you is, do you see that? And B, why would that not happen nationwide?
I think it's going to happen nationwide, actually. I mean, again, talking to people, everybody, I cannot wait.
I agree with you, by
the way.
Book
a trip.
Yes.
I cannot wait to go to. I mean, that's what people, they're not saying, gee, I wish I had more money. Some of these people haven't even worked very much in the last 6 months, but they still say, I cannot wait.
Right.
And that's what really makes this country great, is we are in a consumer-based economy. 70% of our gross domestic product is based on consumerism.
Right.
And we love to spend money. And so I don't think it's just tied into California. I think California's got some other problems, mainly environmental problems with fires and stuff. Quite honestly, I don't know why anybody would want to live in Northern California.
Me neither. Thank you. Agree.
But,
no, and I, by the way, I agree with you. I think there's a huge pent-up demand on a nationwide basis as well. And I think some of that's, you know, people being cooped up, people not being able to do the things they've wanted to enjoy. And by the way, there is still a good section of the economy where people have made money over the past 6-8 months and haven't spent it on much. And that money's just sitting there ready to be spent.
Absolutely. Credit card debt went way down this
year.
And so people have, you know, close to zero balances, and they're just itching to go out there. I can feel it.
I agree.
I can feel it. You know,
I agree.
It's called retail therapy.
That's right. Agreed. Mish, I appreciate it very much. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll have you back here after the first of the year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Good stuff. Good talking to you. And again, you can find her on Twitter. She just explained that a moment ago. Best way to find her. And you can, by the way, you can just Google her name and you'll find her really easy. It's really simple that way. Michelle Schneider, Mish, M-I-S-H for short. Flesh and Beck Law Firm coming up next. Kevin Flesh, he would love to help you out with all of your legal needs, whatever they are. If you get involved in an accident, even in some of this weather we've got coming in, just make sure you call Kevin. He'll represent you well. 303-806-8886.
You go to the grocery store to buy ice cream and end up with a dislocated shoulder. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law has one goal: to make sure you get the medical care you need without worrying about the cost. Your first reaction when you slip and fall tends to be embarrassment and avoidance. You hustle up to get off the floor, tell everyone you're fine, and go home in a hurry. Then, once the adrenaline wears off, you start to realize that you're not fine after all. You end up in the emergency room needing rotator cuff surgery. Suddenly, you're facing upwards of $50,000 in hospital bills, all because of a shopping trip. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh, will prove the place of business created a dangerous condition, holding them accountable for your medical expenses so you can focus only on getting the treatment you need. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
All right, and we want to make sure you can see clearly. So does Novus Auto Glass. Whether that's a crack, a chip, or a complete windshield replacement, they can take care of that for you. They work with every insurance company and do the calibrations, which on a lot of late model cars need done after a windshield replacement is performed. Go to rushtoreason.com/Novus, and that's N-O-V-U-S.
Novus means innovate. As the original inventors of windshield repair, Novus Auto Glass continues to stay on the cutting edge of glass repair and replacement. Any vehicle with lane departure technology needs to be recalibrated after a windshield replacement because of the cameras and sensors mounted to your windshield. All of those sensors need to be carefully realigned so your vehicle provides accurate positioning information. And each vehicle manufacturer is different. Most auto glass facilities, even the big names, do not have the right tools and equipment to calibrate your windshield. They can only replace the glass, not recalibrate the sensors. Because Novus Auto Glass constantly upgrades to keep pace with the changing industry, the majority of their locations now offer calibrations. Get your windshield replaced and the sensors recalibrated with the inventors of windshield repair. Find Novus Auto Glass at rushtoreason.com/Novus, N-O-V-U-S.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
KLZ 560, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush. Thanks for listening to us. I do appreciate it very much. I'm your host, John Rush. Charlie Grimes, our engineer. There's a great article in Forbes, which it is one of those sites where you typically need a subscription, but I think you can get three or four different articles you can view for free. And there's a great article. You can just Google this. Just Google Forbes. Sorry, envious left. Trickle-down economics is real, and it's everywhere. It was one of those phrases coined by Ronald Reagan back in the day. And the reality is, yes, things trickle down. Very seldom do they trickle up. Doesn't happen very often. Normally, it's from the top down. And this article really starts off talking about the Cuban immigrant Roberto, I can't say this last name right, Guzita, who was named the CEO of Coca-Cola Company in August of 1980. It ran until his untimely death from cancer in October of 1997. During that time, and according to a 1997 essay about him by the Wall Street Journal, the market value of Coke surged from $4 billion all the way to $145 billion. Thanks to the globalization of the company's brand on his watch, he died nearly a billionaire due to the rise in the value of Coke shares. It was also noted that the CEO of Coke had little time for civic affairs in Atlanta, where Coke is based, or around the world for that matter. The alleged social justice measures that excite the left plainly didn't spark excitement with Guzida. Make sure I'm saying that correctly. I'm sure I'm botching that. But it's reported that the CEO focused his energies almost singularly on enriching the shareholders that he served. By the way, that was a good thing for him. Indeed, thanks to the stupendous rise in the value of Coke shares, Atlanta's Emory University now has one of the largest endowments in the world and has made it possible for the school to give out plentiful scholarships to needy applicants, not to mention all the buildings and professorships Coca-Cola Wealth has funded. Atlanta's Robert Woodruff Foundation, massively enriched by its Coke holdings, has given out many hundreds of millions with an eye toward investing in health, education, economic opportunity, and community vitality in Georgia. Maybe most appealing of all from a human interest standpoint is the story relayed by the Wall Street Journal about retired Atlanta pediatrician Bill Warren. Warren inherited Coca-Cola shares, and during the time that this gentleman was CEO, saw the value of his inheritance soar. Enriched by the stratospheric rise in Coke shares, he closed his pediatric practice in order to devote his time to helping inner-city Atlanta families with their medical struggle. So bottom line, folks, despite what anybody on the left will tell you, it does trickle down. Like I said earlier, so does those leaving an area because they're taxed to death. They will just leave or figure out other things to do, and they just won't put up with it. Why? Because they're smart. And things do trickle down. We as a nation, what we have as wealth in this country trickles down to the entire world. Those that are on the left, you socialist communists, you don't think that's the case. But the reality is, it is. Because of the United States of America, the global population is in much better shape today than it's ever been. I'm going to repeat that. Because of the United States of America, the global population is in better shape than it's ever been. And if you don't believe me, go look that up for yourself, because I have. We have literally raised the poverty level around the entire world because of what we in the United States of America do. We are also the most benevolent country on the planet. We do more to help out the rest of the world than any other country has ever done in the history of mankind. So yes, folks, things do trickle down. It is called trickle-down economics. What happens at the top trickles down all the way to the guy at the bottom. And it's truth. You can read this for yourself if you'd like. Again, this is in Forbes. We'll be right back. Enchanted Kitchens is up next, folks. And they want to help you get your kitchen all dialed in, make it that enchanted place, the center of your home. Just go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. By the way, be looking down the road, and I predicted this early on with COVID, but it's going to come to fruition here in not the too distant future, and that is all of these draconian governors that put all of these things in motion to shut things down, who now don't have the tax base they need to pay for the things they need to be paid for, they are now going to go to Congress, lobby them for a big bailout on their huge deficits they have inside their states. And mark my words, Governor Polis, Kevin Polis, will be one of those that does so. I, by the way, predicted this clear back in the beginning of COVID. And I also predicted that all these governors would do every single thing they possibly could to make sure Joe Biden got elected, even if that meant shutting their states down and ruining themselves economically, because they don't care. All they cared about is orange man bad. And they were willing to sacrifice their own people in their own state to make sure that orange man bad didn't get reelected. I hope you're all proud of yourselves. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. Otherwise, this is Rush to Reason signing off. Myself and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.